الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في شأن حبيبي إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يك من المشركين صدق الله العظيم Most respected elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We find it is the constant desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive each and every one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always looking for some action, some amal, some excuse to forgive us and grant us our jannat. The amount of love and affection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for each and every one of us. In one hadith it is mentioned that after a certain battle was fought, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted victory to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then together with the other booty, with the other spoils of war, there was a huge batch of prisoners that were brought and left in Madinah Munawwara. وَفِيهِمْ إِمْرَأَةٌ تَسْعَى Amongst them there was a woman that was very, very worriedly, frantically searching for something that she had lost. Searching here, searching there, searching everywhere. فَوَجَدَتْ صَبِيَّةً لَهَا Until finally she found what she was looking for. It was a breastfeeding child. Her baby that she had lost. فَأَلْزَقَتْهُ بِصَدْرِهَا She picked up that child. She expressed so much of love, so much of affection for the child. And thereafter she begins to breastfeed that child. So from a distance, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a few Sahaba radiallahu anhum with him, they were watching. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that, O my Sahaba, أَرَأَيْتَ هَذِي الْمَرْأَ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ That do you ever think a woman who has expressed so much of love for her baby, do you ever think she will take that baby and toss that baby into a fire? A very strange question. Sahaba radiallahu anhu looked at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, La wallah ya Rasulallah. Never. A woman who is a true, in the true sense of the word mother, leave alone going near the fire, she won't even allow a thorn to prick that child. Never, a woman will never do this to a child. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, Wallah by the Qasam of Allah. Allahu arhamu ala ibadihi min hadhihi al-mar'ati li waladiha. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has much, much more love for each and every single servant of His individually, more than any mother could ever have for any of her children. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants that good conditions for us. He wants to give us the best. He wants the best for us in this dunya and the akhirat. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً Give us the best of this dunya, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً And the best of the akhirah. It is a dua that was taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif. But that appreciation and that realization has to come from our side. We have to understand and we have to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we want that favorable conditions. We want that maghfirat. We want that jannat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows us. He has created everything from head to toe and everything linked to insan is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has created our desires. Allah ta'ala has created our train of thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created our carnal, our feelings, our minds, our thoughts. Everything is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala knows that time and again insan will be caught up in the web of shaitan. We will fall in the traps of shaitan. We will stand up in the disobedience of Allah ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about such occasions, such months in the year, such periods, such seasons, when it becomes very, very easy for a person to gain his maghfirat and to earn his jannat. As we know, my respected elders and brothers, currently we are in the season and the months of Hajj. It is a time when many of us, our family members, our friends, relatives, people that we know of, will be embarking on this very, very great spiritual journey. Those, many of them have left already. Some will be making tawaf around the Kaaba Sharif. Some will be kissing the Hajar-e-Aswad. Some will be by the Rukn-e-Amani. Some will be maybe drinking zamzam from in one portion near the well, near the zamzam well. Someone will be in some place in the Haram Sharif. And if not, then they'll be in Medina Sharif. Either presenting the salams at the Rosa Mubarak to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or maybe in Darul Nadwa, maybe in Riyadul Jannah, maybe in Jannatul Baqi, or some part of Masjid al-Nabawi. But the question arises is that the season of Hajj, and this period of the year, is it only for those that are embarking on this journey? What about the rest of us? What about the rest Muslim community and the global Muslim community around the world? Like how it is for those that are going, they are the special delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones that are representing the entire ummah. So this month is also for them, those that are going, and it is also for those that are staying. For us, it is a reminder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remind us of the sacrifices and the lifestyle of that one individual. Today when the Western world wants to remind, or they want to place a reminder for a certain so-called important person, then portraits are put up. Monuments are built. Statues are built. And maybe those that are passing by, those that come to as a tourist to that certain specific city, they will sit there, they will remember that statue, they will remember the person, what he had done. And those that will remember the statue the most will be the birds perched all over. So this is the Western culture. But as the Muslim community, this is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remind us of the sacrifice and the lifestyle of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran Sharif mentions, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanital lillahi hanifa. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was just one individual, one man alone. But the submission and the sacrifices of this one man could represent and could match an entire ummah. What he had done, it would take an entire ummah to do. The sacrifices that he had made and the submissions that he had put forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he hadn't done. Kana ummatan qanita lillahi wa lam yakun minal mushrikeen ijtaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, we had divinely selected and chosen Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Wahada, and we had guided him to the straight path. The ulama ikram explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised and discussed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in 25 different paras of the Quran Sharif, approximately 63 different ayat. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whose ikhlas, whose iman, whose conviction, whose sincerity can be deeper than that of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He had given everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذِ بَتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam through the different tests, he proved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran Sharif mentions, فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. He didn't just pass, he didn't just scrape it. He passed with flying colors. وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Allah ta'ala mentions, Ibrahim, submit yourself. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He mentions that I have submitted myself from head to toe to the Lord of the worlds, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it means me jumping in the fire for the sake of Allah ta'ala, whether it means me saying goodbye to my family members at that young age, whether it means me taking my baby and my wife and leaving them in a desert place for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whether it means me taking that knife and placing it on the neck of my son Ismail, I am ready to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time when we are reminded of his sacrifices, his lifestyle, and especially the two very, very flaming qualities in his life. One was his submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and second, his conviction, his reliance, and his yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the incident very well where he had taken that axe and he had broken all the idols. He was still a young boy at that time. The Quran Sharif mentions, وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ لِمَ تَعْبُدُ. His father was a manufacturer of idols. The factory of idols was running from his very home. So he thought to himself that if I convince my father, then all problems sorted. That's the end of idol worship. They will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he speaks to his father. And he asks his father, why are you worshipping something that doesn't see, it cannot even hear, it cannot benefit, it cannot harm us in any way. You are building it and you are worshipping it. لا تعبد الشيطان. Oh my father, this is just a trap of shaitan. إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ. The adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come upon you. قَالَ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Father didn't want to listen. Are you making a mockery of our gods, O Ibrahim? When he realized he couldn't convince his father, he waited for an opportunity where he could now convince the entire community. And this opportunity came where they had gone out of that village to a certain religious place for a certain religious festival. For some celebration, a religious celebration, the entire village folk had went and he was the only one that has stayed behind. فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. So he was the only one left in that entire village. After everyone was gone, he picked up the axe, and as we know, he went to the temple where they used to keep all these idols. And one by one, he began to smash them. He smashed them to smithereens. He took the axe and he left it around the neck of the biggest idol. He left it there and he went away. When the people came back, the first thing they came back, it was a religious occasion, so they wanted to come straight to the temple to worship their gods. And when they came there, to their shock, to their consternation, everything destroyed. Cutting the long story short, they figured it was Ibrahim alayhi salam. They called him up, they summoned him, and they made the decision, harziquhu wansuru, avenge our gods and burn Ibrahim alayhi salam. It was a long discussion that had taken place, but this was what they finally decided, to burn Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the hadith it is mentioned that a fire was prepared. For over 1 month this fire was prepared. People from that village and from the neighboring villages, they were sick, were ailing, they were going through some difficulty. They used to come to that fire and contribute to that fire in the form of fuel, in the form of firewood. Adding to that, for them it was an ibadat. Burn the one that broke our idols, our gods. So as an omen, they used to come and contribute to that fire that maybe we will get cure, we will get shifa from the sickness. It is mentioned that for over a month this fire was prepared. For over 1 week this fire was kindled, it was fanned. Such was the severity of the heat of this fire. And such was the height of the flames of the fire that it is mentioned that if a bird had to fly overhead, immediately it would get burnt and fall down. So the heat was so intense, they thought to themselves, we cannot even go near this fire. How are we going to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam in the fire? But Shaitan had come to them with the idea of a catapult. The first time in history a catapult was built, it was brought, and on that specific day where they intended to now throw him in, the entire village folk came out. And from the neighboring villages, they all came out to watch this occasion. The so-called demon that had broken our gods, it is time to end his life now. It is time for him to get burnt. So on this specific day, everyone came out to watch this occasion. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was taken in the riwayat of Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was strapped. He was bound with that robes, he was shackled and he was put onto that catapult. One youngster, the hadith mentions, the entire heavens and the entire earth began to shiver, began to get restless. What is happening to this one young boy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel alayhi salam, malaika watching, Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Allah ta'ala, that, oh Allah, what is happening to Ibrahim? What is happening to your Khalil? Allah ta'ala mentions, if you want, oh Jibreel, you can go and assist him. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He is strapped on that catapult, a young boy. He comes to him, oh Ibrahim, alaka haja, is there anything that we can do for you? Meaning, right now we will take you, we will put you in a safe place where no one, these people won't be able to come near you also. But what was the reply of this person, of this young boy? He mentions that, oh Jibreel, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send you or did you come on your own accord? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam answered and he mentions that I came on my own with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With his permission, but I came on my own. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, oh Jibreel, amma ant fala, I don't need you. As for you, I don't need you. Hasbi Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is sufficient for me. Allah ta'ala knows what I am going through and Allah ta'ala is the one that has put me in this condition. Allah ta'ala knows, Allah ta'ala is sufficient to take me out. He just had to mention this one statement, Hasbi Allah. The ayat was revealed, Qulna ya, that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command came down to the fire, Ya narukuni bardaw wa salaman ala Ibrahim. That, oh fire, become peaceful, become content, become a means of contentment for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. He was thrown, he was flung into the fire. The only thing that got burned was the shackles and the ropes that bound him. He spent about 40 days in the fire, and when they saw that nothing is happening to him, they eventually took him out. But in the later years, it is reported that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned that never in his life did he ever find or he ever experience such contentment and such solace like the 40 days that he had spent in that fire. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions, the only statement that was coming out of the lips of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he was being flung into the fire was, Hasbi Allah, Hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient for me. My respected elders and brothers, this is one of the very, very greatest lessons we learn, especially at this period of the year. The reliance, our yaqeen, our conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many times we are faced with such occasions where maybe it's in a form of sickness, or in a form of financial constraints, or in trouble by some, in some way or the other, whatever it is. But this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the one that has put me in this condition, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that will take me out. So hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient for me. A youngster, in fact, at the time when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take his baby Ismail alayhi salam and his young wife Hazrat Hajra alayhi salam and to leave them in Makkatul Mukarramah. Today the Haram Sharif is there, the buildings are there, everything is there. But at that time there was nothing there, not even the Kaaba Sharif. It was just desert, it was just sand surrounded by a few mountains, whatever it was. And he was given this hukum by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take your son, take Hajra alayhi salam, your wife, and go and leave them in Makkatul Mukarramah. Firstly, so many years had gone by where he made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that oh Allah, his entire life he made dua, that oh Allah, bless me with pious children. His entire life he made dua for children. When he was approximately 86 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with Ismail alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was barely the age of a year and a half when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded him to take them and leave them in Makkah Mukarramah. He didn't know, he never been to Makkah before. He has probably never heard of Makkah Sharif. But he travels from Syria all the way to Makkatul Mukarramah, the burning heat of the Arabian Peninsula, and where the spot where we know today the Zamzam well is located. He reaches that spot under the guidance of Ibrahim, under the guidance of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He leaves his wife Hajra alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salatu salam, and he turns around and he begins to walk away. There are many details about this incident where he begins to walk away and Hajra alayhi salam follows him 3 miles where today we know is Azizia is situated. She follows him till Azizia. What is wrong? Why are you leaving us? Etc. etc. But then she realizes that this is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also Hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient for me. So when she goes back, he continues walking. But he was also a family man. He was also a parent. He just got that one and a year and a half child, and now he had to leave them. When he had reached a spot where he was now out of sight of Hajra alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, he falls down on his knees and he raises his hands towards the skies and he makes a dua, Rabbana, inni askantu min durriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar. That oh Allah, through your hukum, on your request, on your command, I have taken my wife, I have taken that baby of mine, I have left them in a place wherein there is not even a blade of grass. There is no fruit, there is no trees, there is no vegetation, no one in sight. Not even on the way, not even a pathway where people cross through. But on your hukum, I have left them there. But again, look at his yaqeen, his conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite all the odds being against him, and everything not being in his favor, what he mentions, وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Oh Allah, you alone provide for them the best of provisions. Provide for them the best of fruits. The Quran Sharif declares, يُجْبَى إِلَيْهِ ثَمَرَاتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رِزْقًا مِنْ لَدُنَّا. That the fruits and the vegetation of the entire world, from every corner of the world, will be transported and will be exported into Makkatul Mukarramah on the acceptance of the dua of Ibrahim Khalilullah. If a person has to look at Makkah Mukarramah in the history, whatever it is, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, Makkah Sharif is brimming. The Haram Sharif is full. The streets of Makkah Mukarramah are bustling. People from all over the world are there. But never in the history of Makkah have we ever heard that there was a shortage of water, a shortage of fruits, a shortage of provisions, a shortage of food. And this is despite the fact that not one crop and not one fruit grows in Makkatul Mukarramah itself. Makkah Mukarramah is a desert place. Everything comes from out. The khajur also, it comes from Madina Munawwara and the surrounding areas. Makkah Sharif itself is a desert. It cannot grow anything. If this is not the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and the yaqeen, the conviction that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had at that time, then what else can it be? And then came the greatest test. The greatest test for anyone was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. There are many, many details, many, many of which we know, but as the days of Qurbani comes closer, we will hear about those details. But the greatest lesson we learn in this period of the year, in this season of Hajj, is these flaming qualities in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. His submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his yaqeen, his conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a times we are fulfilling the duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of, maybe we are performing our salah, we are staying away from haram in the different various forms, whatever it is. But the question is, are we taking it in our own stride? Are we doing it how and when it pleases us, or when it is convenient for us? At the time when I come from work, I am so tired, but I can hear the azan is going, and I am resting on the bed, or I am playing with my children, whatever it is. At that time, what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it to perform that salah quickly at home, or maybe make qaza of it the next day? Or is it that we must come to the masjid at that time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to fulfill that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform that salah in the manner that He wants us to perform that salah. Not how we want. That certain occasion or that certain get together where there is so much of intermingling and there is so much of haram taking place. But at that time when I'm invited or I'm the VIP guest, then what is the submission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time? In our day-to-day lives, every day of our, from the time we wake up right till the time we go to sleep, everything in the submission, in accordance to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the greatest lesson. The hadith mentions, man kana lillah, kana Allahu lahu. That person who submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't do for him. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant us the true submission, the true taslim, the whole concept of Islam. Islam comes from the word taslim, is to submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true Muslims and grant us the best of this dunya, the best of the qabr, and the best of the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wanani, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.